Well, hey, everybody, it's Donna Partow, and I am welcoming you to days 14 and 15. We have a ton of material to cover today. I was agonizing over how I could present all of this in a way that's seamless and flows, and I don't know if I can pull it off, but we're going to ask the Holy Spirit for help. Amen? So, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you've not left your children to muddle around in the dark, that you love us and you're for us and you've made a way. You sent your son to pave the way for us to spend eternity with you, and you didn't stop there. As if that gift wasn't enough, then you sent the Holy Spirit to empower us to live for your glory on earth. You sent the Holy Spirit to empower us to be part of your plan to bring heaven to earth right here, right now. So you're just awesome, and we thank you so much. We ask now that the Holy Spirit would come in power, that he would give me wings to get to the point, that I would be able to communicate succinctly, clearly, and with power, clarity, that the message would come through loud and clear to each one who is joining live and each one who will listen to the replay. Holy Spirit, have your way. Have your way. Speak to your children. Amen. Amen. We've got to dive in, guys. We've just got to dive right in because we have to cover Sunday and Monday. We got to cover 2 days. So let's just do this thing. Remember to ask, no matter what happens, say, you know, why is this just perfect? Why is it either a blessing or something that God is using to perfect my character? And remember to ask your new question. A lot of you are doing a great job with that and being very intentional about it. Here's a great new question. You know, how has the Lord been good to you? The Bible says, rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. Come to the end of every day and say, why should my soul just be resting as my head hits the pillow? How was the Lord good to me today? What a great question. I want to give you a couple testimonies. This is from Angela May. She says, my cover arrived. This is definitely a wow moment for me. I am so amazed right now about the transformation that's happening in my life. Donna, you have no idea how much WEU has changed my life, coming from the verge of suicide, weighing over 300 pounds to where I am now. Amazing. I have written my first piece entitled I Am Flawed while taking another class, and now God is getting ready to birth a book and a ministry. You better believe it. So exciting. She's putting feet to her faith. The Bible says trust in the Lord and do good. Both. You know, Christians tend to be at two extremes. Oh, I'm just trusting the Lord. I'm just waiting on God. God's up in heaven looking at the angels saying, that child's still claiming to be waiting on me. How long we've been waiting on her to get moving? Okay, right? So, and do good. We got to do good too. Yeah, so other people are like me. We're doers and we got to work on the trusting thing. We're just full speed ahead and God's up in heaven saying, is that child still running? Really? She hasn't taken a hint yet that I'm not in on this? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we got to be well balanced in all things. Maureen Perry has a testimony. Happy Sunday, she says. I've been working on a specific writing project since 2013. That's a few years ago now, and just could not move forward. Since I started this class and applying what I'm learning, God has started giving me very distinct directions on how He, well, this is good, how He wants this project to look, who it is for, and why it is needed. It's not a chore to write now, but something I really look forward to. Without all the clutter in my life and the clatter in my head, I can finally move forward. Amen. I'm loving this. God is good. He's my Father, and He does want to use me. Yeah, it's invite your daughter to work day, Maureen. Invite your daughter to work day. I am not a nobody to my daddy, and neither are any of you beautiful people. Well said. Now, this is a long one, but it's a good one, so stay with me. This is from Paula. My main goal for this class was to clarify my vision. I didn't have a vision of any kind, and I have never been able to make goals. I've been searching for my identity for what seems like eons. How can you have a vision or make goals when you don't know who you are or what really trips your trigger? I am so excited to share that this class is drawing forth my identity and the vision for my life is becoming clear. I'm finally able to see what things are really important to me, what I want to accomplish in life, and to put them down on paper without feeling guilty or selfish. I'm beginning to see how my be and do equal have list are all intertwined and how they work together. Revelation is amazing. I'm having to go at a slower pace than I'd like due to this being our busy season at work. I don't want to rush through the workbook, but really listen to the teachings. I'm so thankful for the replays. And not just with my physical ears, but with my spiritual ears too. The transformation in my life began last year with the 90-day renewal classes, but this class is catapulting me to a higher level than what I ever could have imagined. The desires that have been in my heart for years are not mere foolishness. You better believe it. But what God intended for me when he wrote my days down in his book before I was even formed in my mother's womb. Girl, you are preaching so good, Paul. I might just give you the microphone. I'm beginning to understand that. My old question was, why me? My new question is, why not me? A shift has taken place. Confidence and boldness are rising up. Thank you, Donna, and all my classmates. Your postings are so encouraging and eye-opening. You've helped me tremendously. You know, Paula, you just helped us tremendously with that amazing testimony that I know is going to speak to and minister to a lot of people. Just want to make sure everybody's hearing me. I'm coming through loud and clear. Am I coming through loud and clear? Just let me know. Yeah, coming through loud and clear. Great. You're hearing me, seeing everything, wonderful, fabulous, everybody's happy. Let's keep going. Here's a quick recap. You need a vision. Without a vision, the people perish. You need a plan based on your priorities. Somebody, you know, everybody has a plan for your life, but you got to stick with God's and hone into it and not let go of it. You need a measuring system to track your progress. What you track improves. What you track stays on track. Establish accountability. Monitor your milestones. Make sure you're on target. Celebrate. Celebrate your achievements. Go you. And let us celebrate with you. Come share your testimony so we can join in on the celebration. Impart your gifts, because you have them. You have plenty to impact the world. Remember, I resolve. What's your resolution? And write this sentence every day. First thing, I resolve to partner with God to make this my best year ever. By doing what? Where? When? How often? So that I can accomplish what? You need to be writing that every day. I did it this morning. Okay, let's dive in. Day 14, how to have more energy. We've been talking about this all along, so hopefully, you know, I can speed through this part because we have a ton to cover. Disempowering questions that suck the life out of you and drain your energy and have you exhausted before you're even out of bed. Focus on things that are beyond your control. Usually begin with the word why. Why things happened in the past. Why things always happen to you. Why someone isn't helping you. They leave you feeling frustrated, angry, resentful. I call that FAR. Frustration, anger, resentfulness. Those are three things I have struggled with. And since we're all the same, I'll bet you anything. I'm just going to take a guess here that a lot of you struggle with at least one and maybe all three. I call it FAR. They leave you exhausted. Empowering questions that energize you and propel you forward. They focus on things that are completely within your control. They're about what you can do next and how you can make a change. What's the best way? And for you perfectionists out there, what's a better way? What's a better way? And the cure for FAR is near. The cure for frustration, anger, and resentment, which is always focused on other people and circumstances outside of you, for the most part. The cure for FAR is near, drawing near to God, time in his word, time in his presence. That's God's prescription for me. Donna, if you're sick and tired of this frustration, anger, and resentment, monopolizing your time and energy, why does everybody want to give me a hard time? Why won't my computer work? Just draw near to God. Empowering questions. Who are the people who can help me move forward? What are the smartest resources I can use? How can I improve? What can I do? Here's just a tool, a new idea here. Write out empowering questions before bed and delegate it to your brain. Let your brain percolate while you sleep. Pray about it and watch for God to bring the answer. If you want more energy throughout your day, the answer is to take massive action. Believe it or not, if I take a lot of action, I'm going to be tired. No, quite the opposite. The word satisfaction is from the Latin. Satis is enough. Satisfaction. You take enough action, you get satisfaction. Even if you don't get the results you're looking for, you get the satisfaction of a job well done. You get the satisfaction of putting in a great effort. One of my favorite quotes is from Cece Murphy. I'm passionately involved in the process and emotionally detached from the outcome. I just want to be obedient. I just want to be faithful. I don't care if this book becomes a bestseller. That's out of my control. I'm going to be obedient and write and enjoy every minute of writing this book and sharing what God has put on my heart and the journey he's taken me on. Galatians 6, 2-5. Pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done. And you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else, for we are each responsible for our own conduct. Dignity comes from work. Satisfaction comes from doing enough work that you come to the end of the day and say, you know what? I'm a rock star. My husband may not be applauding. My kids may not have noticed. The scale may not have budged. I may not have a publisher lined up yet. I may not have a producer yet. But you know what? I showed up today in a big way. I did everything that I could do within my power to move the needle, to move the ball forward in this game of life. And you know what? My head is hitting the pillow, feeling great about this day. And I'm giving my brain the assignment. I'm delegating to my brain the assignment of asking great questions, and maybe by morning an answer will come, and I'm going to give it to God, and God's going to bring to me the resources I need to keep moving forward. That's how people say, oh, Donna, how do you get so much done? Well, you know, I'm learning not to sit and ask myself disempowering questions anymore. If you take enough action in the area of your responsibilities, doing what you can do, trusting God to handle what you can't do, you will be energized by the satisfaction of a job well done. And you get to pick your pain, the pain of discipline now or the pain of regret later. That's it. The pain of discipline now, like, oh, I really want to hit the snooze button. No, I'm going to take that pain of discipline of getting my precious little self up out of bed an hour earlier and working on my book or working on my art, working on my website, whatever it is God's calling you to do, or you'll just have the pain of regret. But there's always, you know, pick your pain. It's one or the other. I want to dive in just a tiny bit to Nehemiah, and we'll do more with him later on in the week. But his journey begins with a question. He says, I questioned them about the Jewish remnant. He asked a really good question. Hey, what's going on in Jerusalem? You know, it's been on my heart. The Lord's just been pressing my heart about this situation. What exactly is going on? Find out what's going on in the world. Find out, you know, where can you help a big boulder that God is calling you to move? And the more you have your own, we've already talked about this, the more your own responsibilities are in order. Nehemiah's life, he had it together. And because he had it together, God put it on his heart to go and help with a massive boulder, to help a group of people that needed his help. And a huge project that God was going to empower him to complete and to lead. Nehemiah's journey continues with more great questions. Notice this. May I have letters? He asks the king. He needs key people. May I have timber? He needs key resources. And he asks for them. Don't be afraid to ask for the help you need when you're about an assignment from God. Nehemiah didn't ask help for, hey, could somebody, you know, I really don't feel like handing him the cup today. Can somebody else do it? I got to take a nap. No, he was asking for people to help him and resources to do a worthwhile project larger than himself. Something bigger, an important assignment, not his daily responsibilities. Hey, can somebody else take out the trash? I don't feel like it. And that's not what we're talking about here. I can't dive into the whole thing today. Maybe I'll come back to it. But read chapter 3 of Nehemiah, and you will see that Nehemiah and the people took massive action. The entire book is about people taking massive action and getting the work done and feeling great about it at the end of the day. But then notice the enemy comes along and asks disempowering questions. Now, what are those feeble Jews doing? Notice he calls them a name. If you hear a voice calling you a name, an insult, loser, what are you doing, you loser? But you can be sure that's the voice of the enemy. The enemy calls you names. And you know what? The enemy probably has a name for you. He always called me loser and failure. Always loser, failure, loser, failure, loser, failure. Mm-hmm. He's got a nickname for you. Oh, feeble Jews. Will they restore their wall? I mean, you got to read his tone. Will they offer sacrifices? Please. Skeptical, cynical. Do you have that voice? That's not God. Will they finish in a day? Well, no, they're not planning. See, the devil will also use exaggeration. Oh, you think you're going to lose 100 pounds this week? Please. Actually, no. No, we don't think we're going to do it in a day. You think you're going to write that book today? No, but we are going to write an hour a day, every day with consistency. This is the way the enemy talks to you and the kind of questions he asks you. Disempowering questions. You really think you're going to write a book? Really? You really think anyone's going to listen to you? Honestly? I mean, you really think you should build a website and give people advice? I mean, for real, what are you thinking? Loser? Failure? Who are you? It's the devil. It's the enemy. He's the one in your head. And he finds other people. You know, he found people to say these things to them. Disempowering questions. It's always from the enemy. I don't care if it comes off your children's list, I don't care if it's someone at your church, someone at your job. If it's a disempowering question with a cynical, skeptical attitude, it's not God. God is about faith, hope, and love. He's the God of the impossible. He's not the one drilling you and discouraging you. Can they bring stones back to life from those heaps of rubble? Insulting, putting you down. That's not God. That's the enemy. Don't listen to that voice. And don't think you're the only one. Oh, geez, I've got to live with this person who's always putting me down. You're not alone. Nehemiah had to put up with this nonsense. Everybody has to put up with that nonsense. The enemy always finds a spokesperson. I'll say it again. The enemy always finds a spokesperson. It's not just you. What's the solution? I love this. What's the solution to the enemy's disempowering questions? Do they get into an argument? Does Nehemiah go argue with them and fight with them? Does he even engage the conversation? No, he just takes massive action. Hey, how about this? Stop arguing with the devil. Stop defending yourself and just go take massive action. So we rebuilt the wall. We didn't explain that we were going to do it. We didn't tell them why we thought we could do it. We didn't waste energy on that. They just did it. They took action. So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height. Not its full height, notice. Wasn't perfect. Because perfection is the enemy of progress, right? Hey, we just got halfway. We made a start. For that, why? Because the people worked with all their heart. Why did they work with all their heart? Because they weren't wasting time answering the enemy's worthless, pointless, disempowering questions. Rhetorical disempowering questions. What was the other solution? They cleared out the rubble. They said, hey, look, we got a little problem. The strength of laborers is giving out because there's so much rubble, we can't rebuild. So again, I've beat this horse. If you have a project that you know God is calling you to, deal with the clutter. Get rid of the mess. Don't get bogged down in it. Move quickly. Move out the rubble. Clear it out and move on. What did they do when the enemy said it was hopeless? Did they get into a mental debate? No. They put feet to their faith. They put their hands to the plow. They got working. They worked. Did they slow down? Did they hesitate? Did they sit and think, oh, gee, I wonder if he's right. Maybe he's got a good point. You know, I am kind of a loser. He's right. I never do finish anything. No, they worked even harder. They took massive action. When our enemies heard that we were aware of their plot and that God had frustrated it, we all returned to the wall, each to his own work. So when the enemy is trying to frustrate them and discourage them, they leave it to God, and let God go frustrate the enemy. Let God go frustrate the enemy's plan in your life. That's not your job. Don't even engage with it. He's saying this, he's saying that, he's trying to drag us down, trying to distract and exhaust. You know, we're just going right back to work. We're each doing what we can do and leaving to God what we can't handle. So when the enemy tries to frustrate you, take massive action and trust God to frustrate him. Amen? Well, now the enemy, you know, now he's got a new trick. Now the enemy is going to invite you over. Come, let this. God has such a great sense of humor. Of all the places they could have tried to hold this meeting, they held it in the plane of, oh no. You know, when the devil invites you to go to the valley of, oh no, I mean, you're like, oh no, there, the answer is in the question. The answer is in the question. Come, let us meet. Do you want to meet with us in the valley of, oh no? Oh no, we don't. When the devil says, hey, let's have a little chat about how hopeless your life is, how you'll never change, how you have no chance to get that big project done, how your resolutions, this year is going to be no different than last year and what a loser you are. Hey, let's pitch a pity party. Guess what? Nehemiah has another great question. You ready? Here's another great question. Here's an empowering question. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you? No, I'm not going to go down. I'm not going to go down into the pit. I'm not going to go down into the ditch. I've got work to do. I'm moving forward. Why should I stop what I'm doing and engage with these discouraging questions? I'm not even going there. Here's a great question for you. Why should you stop taking massive action toward your vision and your plans to go to the devil's pathetic pity party? Why should you bother? Haven't you attended enough of those already? No more. You are moving forward with massive action. So I managed to get through day 14 in a hurry, and I'm happy about that. Day 15, and it says days, it should say day. Day 15, escaping the great escape. One of the things that I find, have consistently seen as a pattern with people, is that when we are faced with a difficult situation, the temptation, rather than taking massive action, when we face opposition, when we face discouragement, when we face people who are skeptical of what we're doing, and make no mistake, as you move forward to make this your best year ever, and move forward with whatever that vision, that plan, that project that you're after, I guarantee you the enemy is going to send discouraging voices and obstacles and challenges. And the temptation is going to come for you to do three things: comfort, cope, and escape. Comfort, cope, and escape. You want to run away. You want to run for the exit. And I just want to dive in a little bit into how do you counteract that temptation to just run away and say, you know, I can't do this. It's too much. It's too overwhelming. You know, I'm just going to go have a bowl. I'm just going to have a bowl of ice cream. I'm just going to go watch television. I can't do this. There's too much coming against me. It's never going to work. And I just forget it. You know what? And then you just go escape to wherever you run to. For most of us, it's TV. It's the internet. It's sleep, food, shopping, some unproductive or safe activity that we think is safe, doing what we've always done and getting what we've always got. And the challenge that I want to set before you tonight is to engage fully in the battle for your destiny and don't run away. And I think learning to monitor your behavior on a daily basis is one of the most powerful life skills that's being presented in this module, in this Make This Your Best Year Ever class. Pay attention, show up every day, and make sure you're not running away and you're not escaping. You've made this plan. Don't run away from it. Don't let it go. And the way to make sure of that is to monitor it every day, whether your whiteboard, your smartphone app, your spreadsheet, whatever tool you're using to monitor, stay on top of it. Because I'll tell you, how you do one thing is how you do everything. So just change the way you do one thing and it will start to change everything in your life. Pay attention. And you'll begin to notice your patterns. Stay in the present moment. Resist the temptation to dwell on the past, what hasn't worked out before. Don't get swept up and worry about the future. Be fully present. Be here now. And notice, when exactly are you tempted to comfort, cope, and especially to escape? I mean, you, whatever goal you've set before yourself right now, you've probably said it before. We said before, the average person has made the same resolution 10 years in a row. But there always comes a point where you run away, where you throw up your hands and say, you know what? I can't risk failing. I'd rather just say I quit. Quitting feels better than failing. I'm running away. That's it. I'm done. I'm out. This year, I want you to notice and be fully alert. When is that moment? Is it when someone mocks you like they did Nehemiah? Is it when people challenge you, question you? Is it when it doesn't move forward as quickly as you hoped? When is it? But notice, monitor your behavior so you can see the exact moment when in the past you would have said, you know what, I'm out of here, forget it. And stay in the battle. Stay fully engaged because this is your destiny. Be alert to your pitfalls and you're going to begin to notice what they are. Then you can proactively plan how you're going to respond. It's when my husband says this sentence. It's when my mother uses this tone. It's the first time I oversleep. Oh, there I go again. Notice. Because you have a pattern. How you do one thing is how you do everything. And that pattern is going to show up right now. Right in the middle of this class, your pattern is going to show up because how you do one thing is how you do everything. So notice how you do one thing. Notice how you engage with this 21-day class and really be an observer of your own activity and behavior. You can learn so much, and then you know where the rubble is and where you need to rebuild. And that there are some things that all of us need to be at our best, and I just kind of threw this in here. This is from my own experience. If I don't get fresh air, you know, I start getting crazy. If I don't eat right, if I don't get outside and get my daily walk in, no matter what the weather, and clear my head and be out in creation, you know, if my house is just out of control and there's clutter everywhere and I'm isolated, I'm not spending time with people, I'm not doing well. I won't do well. And I think that these are just fundamental things that all of us need to be at our best. So notice this about yourself. You know, if you're on your fourth day of being indoors, you know, it's winter, it's cold where a lot of you are, you're not seeing anybody, the house is all cluttered, you're eating junk food, how you doing? Probably not too good. So I'm just sharing from my own life. I've got to have fresh air, correct diet, a daily walk, uncluttered home, and get out of the house and be with people I love. And maybe yours are different, but be alert to that. What do you need to be at your best? And don't let too many days go by without having those things. If you're not meeting your basic human needs, emotional, legitimate needs, don't be surprised when you want to escape from your life. We can't live our best life unless we ourselves are at our very best. So it's important to take care of yourself. And we're going to look at Daniel. We're just going to take a little detour into Daniel. I know most of our focus is going to be on Nehemiah, but I really need to take a look at Daniel here. Because he was in an incredibly difficult situation. He was a slave. He was dragged from his home in Israel. Watched all kinds of people being killed, I'm sure killed, raped, murdered, burning, pillaging. I mean, he lived through a war. It was horrible. Lived through a siege. Then they dragged him in chains on foot from Israel back to Iraq. He was a slave. And he was in an incredibly difficult situation. Tough circumstances. And he knew, you know what? Somewhere in this is going to be my best year ever, right? this is going to be the beginning of the book that I'm writing. Wow. God's going to take this horrible situation that I didn't sign up for, and make it an inspiration for thousands of years to come. Put it in his word for all eternity. I mean, do you think he knew it was that big? He knew God was up to something. He knew there had to be a reason for all the things that he was going through and had been through. And he has a sense of destiny and something larger than himself at stake here. And that's why he made a decision. He's like, you know what? If I'm going to show up in a big way, if I'm going to honor God and something good is going to come out of this misery and this pain and all the suffering, if God's going to bring something good out of it, you know what? I'm going to have to take care of myself. You know, and that's okay. A lot of Christian women, we don't think it's okay to take care of ourselves. We've got it wrong. You have to take care of yourself. Daniel knew. He's like, look, if I am going to accomplish the mission that God has for me, if I'm really going to make a difference and make an impact here, I'm going to have to really take care of myself. That's where it's got to begin. Before I start writing the book, before I get all these promotions and see God's favor, I've got to start by taking care of myself. I know what I need to be at my best. I can't eat junk food. I've got to eat right. I got to take care of myself. I mean, really, let's be practical. Because God is practical. And if you're going to write a book and you're going to launch a ministry and you're going to start a business or you're going to go to the next level in your job or whatever your goal and plan and vision is, you've got to start where Daniel started. You've got to resolve, you know what, I'm going to take care of myself. And he asked, an empowering question. He asked, he's like, look, can I eat things that work for me? Can I just have some vegetables and water? And he was given permission because God caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. But I just think that this is really important for us. Because we're just so super spiritual. Like, oh, you know, I'm so spiritual. I can't take care of myself. I'm just going to have to live on potato chips because I love God so much. No. No, it's not unspiritual to care about correct diet and exercise. And I just want to make this point that I think that there's a major shift that's been happening in the body of Christ over the, you know, past five, even past decade, I would say. Away from David, you know, everybody blows it all the time, so my sins are no big deal. I mean, that's really where I came of age with my book, Becoming a Vessel God Can Use, which was a whole new genre. I mean, before Becoming a Vessel God Can Use and a couple other books that came out at that same time, Becky, there was some girl named, I don't remember, Worms in My Tea, she had a book. The kind of really raw, airing our dirty laundry, just putting it all out there. Before that, most Christian books for women were, you know, I'm perfect, my dog is perfect, my cat's perfect, my kids are perfect, my neighbor's perfect, everything was perfect. And it wasn't real. And then the pendulum swung all the way over and people like me were just like, yo, I'm real, I'm raw. I mean, this is just me, I'm a mess. And God's really moved away from that. I think that kind of brought the church into balance. Let's introduce some reality. To now, I think God is challenging us to all as a body to come up higher with Daniel as the example. You know what? Everyone is watching all the time with social media. So we really need to bring our A game. The true story. And we talked last week about restaurants. My daughter works at a restaurant, very nice, very upscale restaurant. And, a group of 12 people came in, individual checks, and they wrote a note. Sorry, we didn't have enough money left over for tips. She said they took like change off the table. We didn't have any money left over at all for a tip, but we just wanted to say God bless you. People have 24/7 access to every aspect of our daily lives. You know, I've been living in a fishbowl since I was really 30. I was 30 years old when I had my first major Christian best-selling book and went out on the speaking tours and all the Christian radio shows. So I've been in the fishbowl and the public eye for 25 years. But the reality is we're all in the public eye now. We're all in the fishbowl now. Everybody is in the spotlight 24/7. Everywhere you go, somebody could be broadcasting you live on Periscope. Everywhere you go. And I think the time when we could live sloppy, haphazard lives, that's no longer an option for Christians. It's just not. The stakes are too high. And it's not going to be okay. And it is true. We do all blow it. We all have sin. But God's saying, come up higher. Show up for your life in a big way. Daniel survived four kings. Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, Darius, and Cyrus. And you know why that's important? Usually when a new king comes in, the first thing he did was kill all the family members and all the top advisors of the former king. Not only four kings, but three different empires, the Babylonians, the Medes, and the Persians. Different cultures. But because he lived his life in such a way, God was able to use him mightily. He lived his, listen to this, he lived his entire adult life. He was a teenager when he was taken captive. He lived his entire adult life in captivity, but he was never held captive. He was a slave, but he was never enslaved. Because it's not about what's happening around you. It's what's going on inside of you. It's how you choose to show up for your life. Faced with difficult circumstances, Daniel made a decision. He was going to show up in a big way. And he came up with a strategy to ensure that he would be in top form to meet the challenge and resist the pressure to conform. And at the heart of that strategy was taking care of himself. So my message to you is don't conform, show up in top form. It matters. We as Christians, of course we're not perfect. Of course we blow it. I'm totally honest with you about that. But let's not use it as an excuse for sloppy, haphazard living. Well, you know, that's just the way I am. Sorry, I don't have any money left for a tip. So God bless you. And, you know, I believe that God is calling us as his people to come up higher and to show up armed for battle and on assignment with a mindset that says, you know what? Yeah, I've been through some tough things. And maybe my circumstances aren't exactly ideal. Are you a slave? I mean, Daniel was a slave in a foreign country. Are you there? I don't know. Maybe you are. But have that sense of, you know what? I'm on assignment here. Wherever I am, even if it's not where I want to be, that's not where Daniel wanted to be. It's not where he expected to be. I'm sure if he had a vision and a plan for his life that year, it was not to be dragged away in chains to become a slave. But no matter what happens, we have to have a mindset that says, I'm armed for battle, I'm on assignment, I'm God's child, therefore God is in here somewhere and he's going to redeem it. And I don't know what that's going to look like. I don't know if it's going to become a book or a movie or a song, or I don't know what is going to happen. But I know that God is watching and a world is watching, and I have a sense of assignment here, and I'm just going to believe that God has brought me to this place and he's going to show me favor, and that favor is going to lead to promotion. And that promotion comes when we choose not to escape, not to run away from difficult circumstances, but to show up in a big way, ready for battle. And how do we do that? Just a few ideas. We war with worship, we war in prayer, and we war with decrees, claiming the word of God for ourselves. Somebody put this up on the Facebook group the other day, and I thought it was great. Less complaining, more decreeing. Less comforting, coping, and escaping, more massive action. Beginning with taking care of ourselves and owning our lives and taking responsibility for how we conduct our lives on a daily basis. Rather than escaping, it tells us that Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. I mean, this is amazing. This is amazing. You have no idea. Daniel had no idea. The book of Daniel wasn't written when all this was happening to him, right? I mean, he didn't know how it was going to end. And neither do you. Neither do you. You have no idea. Give God the pen. Let him write an amazing story that no one, including you, would have ever predicted. Yes, we can have a vision. But what God has in mind for your life is so much bigger than anything that you would dare ever, ever, ever dream. Daniel's vision was, you know what? I'm going to show up with dignity and self-respect. No matter what they take from me, they can't take away from my dignity. You know, I have to mention, and I know a lot of you are around the world, and this will be recorded for future years, but today in America is Martin Luther King Day. And every year for about a decade, we've had a tradition in our family that we watch the Rosa Parks story. It's an amazing movie with Angela Bassett. Get a copy of it. Share it with your children. You watch the way that woman conducted herself. And it wasn't what she signed up for. And no matter how she was treated, the dignity, the faith, the honor, the integrity. And it shows a little bit of Martin Luther King. But, you know, look at his life. He so distinguished himself. She so distinguished herself. Her character was so above reproach that it galvanized the city. Are we that kind of person? Daniel so distinguished himself that the king said, you know what? I'm going to put him over the whole kingdom. You know, God is always watching, not looking for someone to punish. God is always watching, looking for someone to promote. It says that the eyes of the Lord range about all the earth, looking to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Do you know that there's so much that God wants to do? There's so much that needs to be done. So many new movements that need to be birthed. We need revival in the world today. There's so much to be done. And God, right this very second, is looking. He is looking for someone who will so distinguish themselves by living their daily life with honor and integrity that God himself will say, you know, I'm going to put that child I'm going to promote that child into more and more responsibility in my kingdom. And that's what the earthly king did for Daniel. And that's what our heavenly king wants to do right now. Do you think there's a shortage of assignments? Do you think there's a shortage of battles to be won? Do you think there's no need for Christians who really walk the walk and not just talk the talk? God is looking to strengthen you right now. God wants to strengthen you right now for the assignment. And, well, yeah, but my circumstances aren't ideal. Good. Good. Oh, but I've got all this opposition and all these obstacles and I don't know how I could, but yeah, right. Great. Exactly. Perfect setup. You're exactly who God is looking for. You're exactly who God is looking for. Where did it begin with Daniel? It began with him saying, you know what? This is a really challenging situation here. I don't know what exactly God's going to do, but I know he's going to do something. So I'm just going to have to really take good care of myself. I'm going to make sure that I show up ready to fight. I got to be at my fighting weight over here. I got to have my mind clear. I can't be zoned out on junk food. I can't escape. I can't go sit and watch television all day long and eat potato chips. I got to be ready. God's going to use me. I don't know how, but I believe it. Daniel showed up armed and dangerous. He understood that living his best life, staying in alignment with the assignment, showing up armed for battle, he understood that was a full-time job and it required him to be all in and in it within it, in it to win it. He understood that because he lived in a fishbowl, like we all do now with social media, his public platform could never rise higher than his personal life. I'll say it again. We need to understand this. God loves you. Right now, God loves you too much. God loves you too much to promote you. In this day and age, if your personal life is it. Now, again, no one's perfect. Everybody's made mistakes. I've said many times, I don't have skeletons in my closet. I've got like that ship from the Pirates of the Caribbean. I've got an army of them. No one's perfect. But God is asking you to walk with integrity. And because he loves you so much, some of you are like, why is it? What? When, God, when? When, God, when? When are you going to promote me? When are you going to do this? When are you going to do that? I know I've got this ministry. I've got this, I've got that. And when's God? God's like, you know what? As soon as you show up armed and dangerous, I'll promote you. But until you're armed and dangerous, it would be dangerous and irresponsible for me as your loving father to promote you into a position where they're just going to eat you alive. I'm not going to throw you into the lion's den until I know that you've got what it takes to withstand it. So God, again, oh, I'm waiting on God. Are you sure about that? because probably he's waiting for you. I'll say it again. You're waiting for God? Are you sure about that? He's probably waiting for you. Again, in this new age of the all-seeing eye of social media, not to mention now the government's watching, we need to be armed for battle and on assignment, aware. Hey, you know what? Maybe God's in this. Maybe, just maybe, God is in this. Daniel walked with such honor and integrity, not even his enemies could bring a charge against him. He walked the walk. He didn't just talk the talk. Daniel 6, 4 through 5. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Nor negligent. And finally, the men said, you know, we're never going to find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God. When your enemies know that they can't find anything against you, you're ready for major promotion. You're ready for major promotion. And I'll tell you this, when we see something in the Old and the New Testament, we need to pay really close attention. 1 Peter 2:12 says, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Daniel walked consistently. It tells us, now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, you know that you're not allowed to pray, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows open toward Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. He had a daily routine. For those of you in my 90-day renewal, he had a daily routine. Do you have a daily routine? Are you consistent? Little bits with consistency. Develop a routine. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying. Where did they find him? They found him praying and asking God for help. That's where they found him. You know why they found him that way? Because that's pretty much what he was always doing. So these are the challenge questions. I hope you're enjoying this. I know I'm moving quickly because we had a lot to cover with 2 days, but I pray the Holy Spirit is still able to work and to move and to just call us. He's calling us up higher because he loves us, because he's got so much. The time's so critical. And there's so much that he wants to do in the world. And he's looking for someone whose heart is just fully committed to him. He's looking for someone who's armed and dangerous that he can put into the battle and they'll withstand it. Go watch what Rosa Parks went through and ask yourself, could you have lived through half of it? She could. And you'll find out why. Go watch the movie. God could trust her. Could she trust God? Please. He trusted her. He could trust her. Wow. Okay, so here are the challenge questions. If people showed up at your house at three random moments throughout the day, where would they find you? If people showed up at your house at three random moments throughout your day, reflect on this. Where would they find you? In the morning, where would they find you and what would you be doing? Be honest. Midday. At night. 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. Where would they find you? What would you be doing? Be honest. Would they find you living your best life or escaping? Comforting, coping, indulging one of your other competing intentions or competing goals to comfort, cope, and escape. And does your honest answer to that question answer any questions or solve any mysteries about your life? Wow. I know this is sobering, but I hope it's challenging you in a good way. Daniel thrived in a situation 99% of people would have wanted to escape. I'm a slave, dragged from my home. Sure, he watched a lot of people that he loved raped, murdered, robbed. He had been probably through hell on earth. He didn't get it. You know, they didn't bring a 747 and give him a first-class ticket back to Iraq. His circumstances said, you've lost everything. You're a slave now. You're nothing. You're nothing. But his spirit and his soul rose up and declared, I was born to rule and to reign. And God is saying that to you right now. Whatever your circumstances look like, don't you believe a word of it. Don't you believe your circumstances or what other people say. Let your spirit and soul rise up right now and declare and decree, I was born to rule and reign. I was born to take dominion, and I'm going to start right now by taking dominion over myself and my daily routine. I'm going to start by taking authority and dominion over that. And then God is going to entrust me with more and more and more. I'm going to take dominion over my daily schedule. I'm going to take dominion over my plan. I'm going to rule and reign over that vision board and that whiteboard and that plan. And then God is going to entrust me to rule and to reign. He's going to expand my territory exponentially. And I'm going to wake up one day astonished, saying, I never dreamed God would do this much. I never dreamed God would promote me this high. I never dreamed God would take me so far. But where did it begin with Daniel? You know what? I think I better pass on the junk food. I think that's not going to be a good idea for me. I need to be on top of my game here. He didn't focus on all he had lost and everything that was against him. Daniel lived and died in service to those who destroyed his nation and dragged him away in chains, but no one would look at his life and say that he had been defeated. Kingdoms rose and fell around him, but no one could strip Daniel of his position or his authority because he stayed in alignment with God's assignment upon his life. And when God decides that he's going to promote someone, no devil in hell, no kingdom on earth can stop him. And so the challenge questions, what have you been trying to escape? Wouldn't it be better to just rise up and live victoriously in the midst of a situation where the easiest thing in the world would be to run away, play the victim, try to hide? It is true that the people around you shape you. And some of that you can't control, but some of it you can. Daniel picked his friends. There were a lot of people taken captive. Who did he pal around with? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spent his time with people who refused to bow. They preferred to face the fiery furnace rather than turn their back on God. Those were his buddies. Those were his closest friends. You know, and some people you can't choose. Your family, for the most part, you can't choose. But as much as you can, choose to bring people into your life who don't bow. People who are all in and in it to win it. I hope that's the community that we're creating here at WEU. And I hope it's part of why, you know, even classes like this, you'll take it every year. You've already taken the class, but you come back because you want to be around. You want to surround yourself with people who have a right heart towards God. People who are moving forward. God told me to raise up an army, and I hope you'll be part of it. I hope you'll do more classes here. The people around you can shape you for the good. These were people who stretched him, challenged him by their example to be more and to do more. And I've watched this. I've done it myself. If we escape from every person and circumstance that God wants to use to mold our character, then we can't be surprised at our lack of progress. God will send difficult circumstances. He will send people who sharpen us, who challenge us. People like me who ask you tough questions. People like me who don't just tickle your ears and tell you what you want to hear. And even he'll send opposition. But all of it is designed to mold your character and to promote you higher and higher and higher. All of it, you know, again, we're going to go back to Nehemiah in the coming days and see all the opposition that he faced, all the tests. But it's just part of the process. Who are you accountable to? Who do you spend time with? Who challenges you? Do you try to escape from people who challenge you? Do you surround yourself with people who tell you what you need to hear or just what you want to hear? I guess what I want to say most of all is enjoy the journey. Even when life's journey takes you places you'd rather not go, learn to make the best of it. Notice that in the midst of all of his losses, in the midst of incredibly difficult circumstances, Daniel still enjoyed his life. And I noticed he still had good food. He still had good friends. He still had good routines. And he still had a good connection to God. I'm going to say that again. Have fun in the passage. Go dig into it. He still had good food. He still had good friends. He still maintained good routines. And he still had a good connection to God. And you can have all four of those things. You can. You can. You can enjoy your life no matter how difficult, no matter how many obstacles. Just start with these. Start with good food, good friends, good routines, and a good connection to God. Ask God to show you one thing that you've been trying to escape. And then ask him for the power to rise to the occasion. Because if you do, then you, like Daniel, get ready for favor, promotion, and kingdom impact. And I'm going to pray that for you right now. And wow, God gave me wings to get to the point. We did all of that in an hour. Amazing. So Father, we desire to see an outpouring of your favor on our lives. We desire to be promoted into positions of responsibility within your kingdom. We want to live a life that matters. Every one of us knows we were born for more. You would not be in a class about how to have your best year ever. You wouldn't be here for week three if you didn't know you were born for more. If you didn't look at your life and say, you know what? Somewhere in all of this, God. He has a plan. He has a place. He has more for me to be, more for me to do, more for me to have. And I want it. I want to step up and I want to step into my moment. You know, the needs in this world today, you know, I'm in the United States. This country literally is a train wreck. I have never seen, I'm in my lifetime, this country in such a horrible place. It's just a mess. The depravity, the division, we need revival. Nothing short of a great awakening is going to save this country. And look to the Middle East, look to Europe, look to the nations of the earth, and everywhere we see the desperate need for God's people to arise in this hour and usher in a great and mighty move of our God. We need leaders. We need people who will step out to start a new movement. There's no shortage of assignments. There's no shortage of work to be done. No shortage. But God right now is looking to strengthen those. And he always picks the last person anybody would pick. Rosa Parks was just a seamstress, that's all. She was just a seamstress. And she shook a nation. She shook the conscience of a nation by her integrity and her courage. When her moment came, she had the character to rise to the moment. Doesn't matter who you are, where you are. God is looking for those who are willing to be armed and dangerous and to live their lives on assignment. Why not you? God's looking right now. Why not you? Why can't you be the one who ushers in the next mighty move of God? It's got to begin somewhere with someone. Why not with you? Why can't you be the one that God uses to prick the conscience of a nation and bring them to repentance and bring them to their senses? Why not you? Why not you? Show up armed, dangerous, ready for battle. It begins right here, right now, with the decisions that you're making right here, right now, tonight, this week. Who do you want to be? This is your life. Are you who you want to be? Never forget hearing that song, Switchfoot. I had to pull over by the side of the road. This is your life. Is it everything you thought it would be? This is your life. Are you who you want to be? This is your life. Are you who you want to be? Because if not, guess what? You can change right now, right here, right now. Right here, right now, we can cry out to God and say, God, make us a Nehemiah. Make us a Daniel. Make us an Esther. Make us a Rosa Parks. Make us a mighty, mighty man or woman of God. Use us, God. Use our integrity and our diligence. Lord, may we be found faithful and trustworthy to be promoted into responsible assignments in your kingdom. I love you so much, God, and I love your people. And I know that there's greatness in them. There's greatness in them. There's greatness in them. Stir it up, God, and let them believe that you can do great things in and through their lives, and you want to, and you will. Amen. Well, I am going to end the recording there and take your comments. I pray that this really ministered to you and that the Lord met us here. Let's find out. Let's find out if the Lord met us here. Your comments, there are two ways. You can type them into the little box that says questions, feedback you want to give me, or you can raise your hand and I can call on you. And I spent all day today trying to get my sound to work, and I have no idea why, but for some reason now the sound is working. So you need to do two things. You need to raise your hand, and you need to make sure that your microphone is green. Your microphone must be green and not gray. Lynette. Yes. Go ahead. I can hear you.
Okay. I thought I had my hand lowered, so I don't understand. I'll turn it back off. I don't really have a comment at this time.
That surprises me, Lynette, because I think you have a pretty big mission from God. Anybody, comments, reactions, what is God saying? Make sure your hand is down if you don't want to be. Live on the line. Karen, I just sent you an audio pin. If you dial that in, I'll be able to talk to you. Anybody else? Questions, comments? Did this speak to anybody? Now she's getting nervous. Sierra.
Oh, I am so sorry, Donna. I just got online, and my thing says red, so I'll turn it off. I didn't get to hear anything, but I thought I'd jump in and hear this part.
Okay. Second false alarm. And I'm trying to unmute Tanya. Now, I went through a lot to try to get audio tonight, so there's somebody who has something to say. Because the devil did not make me spend 5 hours fighting with audio, and then at the last minute, no explanation is working, and no one has anything to say. Somebody has something to say. I know who you are, but you know who you are. Wendy, I tried unmuting you, but you're gray. Your microphone has to be green. Hand raised, microphone green. Hand raised, microphone green. Karen, I think I've got you. Go, girl.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. So, anyway, loved everything you said. I wanted to ask you, you did a quote. You said someone said something like, I'm passionately involved in the process, but emotionally detached from the outcome.
Yeah, that was from Cease. Yeah, it was from Cease Murphy. Cease Murphy. Okay. He's a ghostwriter. I think he wrote Gifted Hands, the autobiography of Ben Carson. He wrote that among many other best-selling books. He's a ghostwriter.
Awesome. I love that quote because it's sort of, when we give everything to God, it puts the responsibility off of our shoulders and on His. We're just involved in the process and then wait to see what He does. That's awesome.
Yeah. I love that one. Okay, great. Super. There we go. We've got one. Now we've got another one. Let's see. June, I tried to unmute you, but you're gray. Your microphone has to be green. Let me see if there's one more. Liz, you don't have an audio, so I can't call on you. Here we go. Paula, you just remuted yourself. You were live. There you go.
Can you hear me now, Dad?
I can.
Oh, well, I am honored to be on this call tonight. I tell you that God has been really dealing with me, and God has been molding me in the pain of discipline. And you said we could either be in the pain of discipline or the pain of regret. And right before this call, I was invited through my emotions to go in the pain of regret. But it's like in my spirit, it's like God was telling me, don't go there. And I entered into your call, this webinar, and God has just been speaking from the beginning to the end. And I just want to tell you thank you for just being such on point and allowing the Holy Spirit to use you all the time. I want this to be a season where God is going to be breaking these patterns in my life, and for this is the season for me to come and be a rise to the A game.
Yes. So, Father, right now for Paula and for everybody. Everybody, and I shared this illustration a semester ago. This woman was like in the dugout, wasn't even in the ball game. And it is time for God's people to come out off the bench, out of the dugout, get up to bat, swing for the fence, bring your A game. Bring your A game. And I just pray for Paula right now that she would get off the bench, step up to the plate and swing for the fence and really just give it everything that she's got in this season. Really just go all in it to win it and show up in a big way for her life. This is it. This is like make or break. This is like, let's go. Let's do this thing. It's showtime. I don't even know why I'm saying this, but I feel like God's saying it's showtime. It's showtime. Spotlight's on. Let's go. Let's roll. Let's do this thing. And I just pray because I know you have it in you. I know you do. Robin, you're unmuted.
My vision board. There's just so many things that you mentioned that God had me put on there. Like getting out of the, and one thing was, if all you do is cope, then you will never overcome. I thought that was awesome. Just so many things. Learning how, why I cope, escape, and comfort. I've been learning, and even tonight, I'm just thanking God that I can learn how to not be discouraged and go back.
So moving onward, God, I just pray for everybody who tonight who needs to move onward. No more comfort, cope, and escape. It's time to show up for our lives, and I really felt that this was a now word. For a lot of people. I did see one other person with their hand open. I'll grab a couple comments. Somebody says, boy, do I ever need this today. The Lord is downloading massive actions right now. Somebody says, awesome teaching. Wow, what a mind shift. When I think about taking dominion, I always think of big kingdom picture, but it's so true that it first must begin with ruling and reigning by living a disciplined life, powerful teaching. Another, amen to needing revival. We see it like never before. Even churches are compromising and shifting with the world. It's truly a devastation. We should be praying. Absolutely. Judy says it ministered to her. Somebody says, I didn't escape or exit from a situation yesterday, and I thank God it's perfect change, but I stayed and my behavior was sloppy and haphazard. I felt so convicted and I repented, and thank you for ministering to me to plan how to respond. Yeah. Yeah. Make a study of yourself. I mean, you don't want to be self-absorbed, but just be alert. And we always pray, Lord, show me me. Show me those things that tend to be my pitfalls. Show me my patterns. Let the Holy Spirit show you. He'll show you. Believe me, He'll bring an opportunity. He'll bring an opportunity. I mean, since 2:30 today up until we went live, I've been trying to get the audio fixed on my laptop. And I was just determined I'm not going to be frustrated. I went and took a walk. I walked away. I'm like, I'm going to the beach. I'm going to take my walk. I came back. Apple called me. I'm like, okay, we're still in this. And right before we went live, I didn't even know how my audio came back. But I know it was a test. June says, people escaping, please pray. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I finally finished my vision board. Somebody says my hand is up. Dawn says, can you handle the lion's den? Boy, that is the question, isn't it? Let me see. Jessie says she has her hand up. Let me see if I see it. Da-da-da-da-da-da. I do. I see it. Okay. Yeah, but you're, yeah, you go ahead, Jesse.
Hello.
It's a little soft. I can hear you, but it's a little soft.
Is this better?
A little better.
Oh my. Okay, I'm as loud as I can be.
Okay, go ahead.
I want to say two things. Number one, the word about satisfaction. That's just so fascinating. I can think of so many instances where that's true, and I love it.
Awesome. Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, and the second thing, I was reading Hebrews 12 this morning, and verse 11, no discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It is painful. So if you choose the pain of discipline, that's just the addition. Back to the Bible, it says, but afterward, there will be a quiet harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. So take a new grip with your tired hands and stand firm on your shaky legs. Mark out a straight path for your feet. Then those who follow you, though they are weak and lame, will not stumble and fall, but will become strong.
That's really nice. That's great. Is that the message?
That is the New Living Translation.
The New Living. I like the New Living Translation. That was beautiful.
Our legs are shaky and our hands are tired, but to mark out that straight path, that's what you're teaching us. So we won't be weak and lame, but we can become strong, and then we can help other people do that. And I think it's beautiful and wonderful, and I thank you so much.
Well, I love you, and it's called discipleship. You know, God's just looking for you to be one step ahead of somebody, and then you can help that one. We can all disciple someone. We're all, you know, if you've been a Christian for 5 minutes, you're ahead of the person who hasn't prayed the prayer yet. Amen? We can all reach someone. Benita, I unmuted you, but you're gray. Your microphone has to be green. Yep, you're up.
It's not now?
I can hear you.
Yay, I figured it out this time.
Yay. Yep.
So, I will officially classify it as the comfort cope with escape thing. And but I was determined to persevere even when I feel like I'm behind, but I keep moving out.
Yeah, those are really good. We're having a little bit of trouble hearing you, and we're getting background, so I'll mute you. But I'm going to pray for you and for everybody who has clutter. Honestly, like the strength of the workers was giving out because there was just so much clutter, and that's true. Whatever you're trying to do, if you're surrounded by clutter, physical clutter, that's the first thing you need to deal with, really, because it just drains you. And then emotional and mental clutter. It's beyond the scope of maybe what I want to cover right now. But God, I just pray for everybody who feels like there's so much clutter, whether it's emotional, mental, whatever, that you would give them the strength to deal with it and to move forward. June, can you hear me? June, can you hear me? Okay, go ahead and remute. It's running late. We're into an hour and a half. Let me see if there's one more. I think I got everybody who has their hand raised. If not, I'm sorry. Oh, maybe one more. Hang on. Tanya? Tanya, you're gray. You'd have to, your microphone would have to be green, and then I could hear you. Yep, you're green. Go ahead. Tanya, we should be able to hear you now. No? Okay. All right, let me just read a couple more comments, and then we'll go ahead and wrap. Somebody says, when you prayed about, is this the life you wanted to live? I saw my life flash before me with things I felt he had placed on my heart since the age of 13. And I'm going to live the life he called me to live because it's the life I want to live. Yeah, I think that's really true. Very often you do get a dream very early in life. When I was a little girl, long before I was a Christian, I had a dream of being a writer. And I saw myself standing up on a platform, even as a little girl. Yeah. Linda says, this is a confirmation of all that I've been hearing from God. Someone's like, not clear. She's like, I want to know what I need to do. Pray God just show you the next step. Patricia says, you really spoke to me tonight. The Bible references from Daniel and Nehemiah's life are powerful. Yeah, they're powerful. Every example in scripture is there for encouragement. Yeah, I forgot. This is my bad. I did a better job in my other class of saying this. Saying, yeah, you know, I say I'm waiting for God and he's waiting for me. Another says, this is very sobering and convicting, a lot to deal with. Pam says, this was so powerful, so much to soak in. I can so feel the love of the Lord. I feel loved and can do whatever God calls me to do. Yeah, perfect love cast out fear. It says, I can't unmute my microphone. Yeah, Sandy, there's two steps. First, I unmute you and then you have to make sure you're green. It's a two-step process. For those of you still unclear about how that works, it's two steps. See, I have everybody muted. Otherwise, we'd be hearing your toilet flush and like 100 people's toilets flushing and all that background. So they're all unmuted. And then when I unmute you, you also have to make sure you're unmuted on your side. It's got to happen on both sides. So on your side, it has to be if I have you muted, you'll see an arrow. But then when that arrow's off, you need to make sure your microphone is green. If it's gray, then I can't hear you. Somebody says, thank you. It spoke to my heart in so many ways. When you took us to Daniel 1, I remember the need to purpose in my heart. I think something stony just broke in my heart. I have more to say, but since I'm a writer, I will write it. Nice. Sandy says, everything hit home tonight. We're all here because we know there's something more in each of us. I agree. Mary Lou says, powerful and inspiring. It really challenges me to be my best all day and to care for myself with what I eat. Yeah. Ah, come on. Kimberly's like, there was a time my answer was yes to everything I was asked to do. Now I say no with boldness. So I'm coming along. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, if the enemy knows that you can't say the word no, he's going to get you. He's going to eat you for breakfast. If the enemy knows you can't say no, he's got you right where he wants you. Mm-hmm. He'll send a never-ending parade of busy work to keep you from God's best. I relate to the change one thing and it will change everything concept of taking control of getting up when the alarm goes off. No laying there asking the exhausting question, should I get up? Should I not get up? I don't know. I get up and get going. I prepare for a great start. I have my day's list made right there. Huge shift. Great results every day. Praising God. Wonderful. Love it. Love it. Thank God for this teaching. I shared my book cover by Vickiana at the testimony I gave this Saturday. I'm moving forward. I'm talking and thinking. Behavior that gets rewarded gets repeated. Another says, I learned tonight that I have to take care of myself before I can be at my best. Yeah. I was wondering why I felt so burned out. Mm-hmm. I know I need to rest. Somebody says, your mention of Rosa Parks is so appropriate. I know that I have a place as a 21st century abolitionist. There are more slaves in the world today. There are about 30 million. That's more than at the height of the African slave trade. And more than half are children. I'm filled with visions and dreams, this person says, in the book of my life. I'm not speaking as a compartmentalized person. It's the whole of life in person being made whole. Yeah, we definitely need more abolitionists. We need a William Wilberforce. Esau traded his birthright for a single meal. Mm-hmm. the picture just popped in my head of being a child and wanting to go lead others to the Lord. Yeah, wonderful. Hey, thanks, everybody. This was awesome. Thanks to those of you who raised your hand. Again, this is the first semester at WEU where we've tried to do the webinar. So I think we've done great with it. You're learning. I'm learning. And I love you guys. Glad this ministered to you. And we'll be back tomorrow at the regular time. But I hope that this was fun for you to be here on the evening. Love you guys. I'm going to go sleep. I'm exhausted. But I'm filled with joy. It's a happy exhaustion. God bless you.